Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Welcome to The Jump, presented by Michelin Wiper Blades.
All right, guys, it's been 8 days since the NBA suspended the season to help flatten the curve of the coronavirus. Players, I'm just going to say it, they seem pretty bored already. We're watching some of what the guys have been doing at home. I don't know, Paul, have you been practicing your TikTok?
You get real creative when you can't move out of a certain room, I'm
right?
telling you. Yeah. Look at this.
I'm sure they're appreciating right the downtime, but they can't move, they can't do nothing. Like Paul said, we're used to being out.
Look
if we
Joel.
Have downtime, we get to get out.
Come on.
Find strange ways to be creative.
I'm seeing a lot of everyone's homes and
right.
some questionable furniture choices, I'm just going to say. Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols. We are here at our Jump studio.
Social distance.
That's right. We are keeping social distance. I am very thankful to be joined 6 feet away from me, NBA champion Matt Barnes, and 6 feet away from him, 2008 Finals MVP, Paul Pierce. We are producing the show with a skeleton crew here inside our production offices, but definitely the support of dozens of our colleagues who are working from home.
Oh, yeah.
And we're hoping to bring you these daily shows for as long as possible. We were talking a little bit right before we came on the air that we still want to be a place for everyone
Absolutely.
To come and hang out.
Still
Coming up,
us.
That's right, Adrian Wojnarowski is going to be joining us to discuss the breaking news that the league has closed all team facilities. We're showing you video from this past Saturday when LeBron took his kids to the Lakers facility for a little private workout, but now the league is urging players to take even more aggressive measures to ensure they don't get affected. First, though, so how's your week been? Anything going on? Not much? Just sitting around the house in sweats, are you? Yeah. Obviously, what is happening in this country and in the world has been bizarre and scary and weird and much bigger than sports. Although for many of us, sports is how we experience so much of American life. It's what we talk about with our friends. It's where we meet people who grew up differently from us. It's where we're forced to face ideas and issues that otherwise might not penetrate our little blue and red bubbles. And right now, sports, and the NBA specifically, is one of the most public examples of the stranglehold of coronavirus. The NBA was the first league to shut down, a decision that in an interview last night, Commissioner Adam Silver told me not only felt necessary for his players, but also something that could help influence the rest of us. Take a listen.
I mean, we're part of the psyche of our country, the world for that matter, and I recognize that when we went off the air last Wednesday night, it was a larger decision than just the NBA. I think it got a lot of people's attention, and I think for those people, and maybe young people in particular, who are a large part of our audience, who frankly weren't taking all that seriously, the recommendations in terms of what the appropriate protocols, they're like, wow, you know, the NBA's off. Something is going on here.
He is right, of course. And as this pandemic has mushroomed, the NBA has also become a reflection of some of this country's political strife. Anger over the scarcity of COVID tests, discussions over who is getting them and why. 8 NBA teams have tested their players and many of their traveling staffs also. That is hundreds of tests. And while many of those have consciously been done through private labs so as not to burden on public health facilities, there have been critics like New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. After news broke that Kevin Durant and 3 other Brooklyn Nets players had tested positive for coronavirus, de Blasio posted this tweet. He wishes the infected Nets players a speedy recovery, but then adds, quote, "With all due respect, an entire NBA team should not get tested for COVID-19 while there are critically ill patients waiting to be tested. Tests should not be for the wealthy, but for the sick." I, of course, asked Adam about that. Here was his response.
I of course, understand his point and that it's unfortunate we're at this position as a society where it's triage when it comes to testing. I'd only say in the case of the NBA, we've been following the recommendations of public health officials. I mean, let me begin with the situation in Oklahoma City last Wednesday night. The Utah Jazz did not ask to be tested. The Oklahoma public health official there on the spot not only required that they be tested, but they weren't allowed to leave their locker room, and they couldn't leave until the health authorities had tested them. So, I mean, that was our first case. And then what followed when we then had an additional positive test the next day, the protocol then followed that we then followed with, again, health officials and our doctor's recommendations, that we then looked at essentially that group of teams that were most proximate to the initial team that had tested positive. And then the circle expanded from there. And again, I understand from a public health standpoint why some people have reacted the way they did. But I'd say from an NBA standpoint, we were following directives.
The head of the players union, Michelle Roberts, also chimed in to ESPN's Ramona Shelburne saying, quote, "The problem that more of us can't get the tests, in my view, that rests at the foot of the federal government. They were responsible for making sure we were protected in that regard, and I think they failed," she said. So, yeah, the NBA is dealing with that, while also being one of the most public examples of another issue facing Americans, that looming constant question of what's next, or when is it going to be okay again, or when it is okay again, what is that going to look like? Will this NBA season restart, or will it just be canceled altogether? Will this permanently reset the NBA calendar? In our interview, Silver introduced for the first time the idea of a charity game that NBA players might participate in, although, of course, that comes with its own issues. After all, there is no social distance on a basketball court. And what about the players who are closer to the end of their careers, who are watching this epidemic eat away at what might have been their last best months of playing time? It's a lot. Which is fitting because this whole thing is a lot. But as usual, sports is going to be a big part of how we deal with it, even without games being played. Here at The Jump, we'll still be here every day talking about the important stuff, being distracted by the goofy stuff, and finding ways to celebrate all the good we can still get from the game we love. So thank you for hanging out with us. And don't worry, those sweatpants are just fine. I won't tell anyone. Paul, I think it's so interesting when you think of all the different issues facing the league. But for you as a player, right, when you were in the middle of all of this and seeing the sport that you could set your life by a metronome, right?
Yeah.
You knew when training camp started. You knew what would happen in your day every day. And all of that has fallen apart. What has that been like?
I mean, I can't imagine how the NBA players feel, because right now you're in the middle of a routine that you set every single day. You wake up, whether you have to take your kids to school, you go to practice, the meals you eat, the way you go to the arena or to practice, it's like all out the window now. Mm-hmm. So now you're like, if it's me and I'm in the league right now, I'm kind of at a loss. But at the same time, I'm like, this is serious, because you don't just cancel NBA, MLB, and all these sports leagues if it's not serious. And so I'm going to be honest with you, because before the NBA canceled, it was just like, right. I took it with a grain of salt. It was like, okay, the coronavirus, it's serious, but not that bad. But when the NBA was like, you know what, we're going to cancel this season, that's when I took a step back and I was like, oh, this is for real. Yeah. And I stopped going to public places, and you started seeing restaurants shut down, and public gatherings started to become less and less. And the NBA, in everybody's eyes, I think, kind of sets the bar of what's going on around the world. And because, like I said, when I saw the NBA shut down, I shut down.
True. Like Paul said, as players, we're creatures of routine and habit. And especially heading into the playoffs right now, post-All-Star is the best time of the season for the NBA players. So guys are at a loss, and you feel for older guys that could be their last go-around, or, you know, LeBron's chance to get the Lakers to a championship, all these different scenarios and narratives are playing out. So we obviously want to, you know, side on the side of caution. But like Paul said, I took it serious having kids and being around my kids. But once the NBA shut it down, I really think, like Adam said, that was a real wake-up call for the rest of the United States. Like, this is something very serious that we have to take serious and we have to get a handle on.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that he was talking about young people, right, who maybe aren't seeing the effects in their own lives. Right. But when the NBA gets canceled, they say, oh, wait, like you said, hey, okay, now I know this has to be different. I did think the point about older players. You guys both played in the league for more than a dozen years, and you know in that last year or two, you are wrestling with changing what your identity is, right? I mean, it's a big transition, and obviously everybody in the country is going through a lot of big transitions. No one's more, you know, better or worse than anyone else's, but in this frame of discussion, that's a big deal.
It's huge. You know, you obviously guys that come to mind are like Vince Carter. Yeah. You know, 22 years, and possibly this can be the end of his run. Who knows what's going to happen. But, you know, Vince, and like I said, again, LeBron is, you know, LeBron's not a spring chicken. He's 35, 17th year. He's had an amazing season. The Lakers are number one team in the West, and they really have a legitimate shot to win the championship here. So there's clocks winding down on some of these guys that we are definitely going to miss, but we just it's still so much uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen.
It is a good reflection, right? There's things that we are going to get disrupted, and then we'll see how they restart, the same way American society is disrupted and then going to restart at some point. And then some things will, frankly, never get back.
Right.
And I think we're seeing all of that reflected through sports. It is a relatable way to talk about a big, huge, sprawling issue, and we are going to keep doing that as we go on through this show and through the rest of the coming months. I want to show you guys Staples Center. This is right across the street from us. Not much going on. Still see a car back and forth every once in a while, but usually there's a ton of people out there on the plaza at lunchtime, people taking pictures with the statues, things like that. And this is a lot of America now, our biggest gathering places sitting empty. Coming up, we're going to look back at one of the most important milestones in NBA history because right on this date, the return of Michael Jordan from his first retirement. How many rings would MJ have had if he had never tried that silly baseball sport? We'll discuss that later in the show. First, though, it's time for a fun-sized edition of Distant Replay. This is brought to you by Marathon. Our first selection comes from this date, 2000, featuring Vince Carter, who may have indeed played his final NBA game last week. Let's take a look.
This used to be.
Well, I remember this.
Baseline.
For the win. Watch out, Dream.
And you knew where he was going, and it didn't matter.
Young T Mac, too.
All right, this one is from this date in 2006.
I remember
this. J. Kidd to Richard Jefferson.
Yeah. J. Kidd with Rich Jefferson and Vince Carter on the break.
Yup.
That's scary. That's scary.
Lying.
Look out.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
The Jump is presented by Michelin Silicone Wiper Blades. Designed for extreme performance and last two times longer.
There may not be March Madness, but we're still breaking down brackets tonight in our two-hour Sports Center special, college basketball's greatest all-time. We're going to reveal the top 64 men and women's players ever. Starts later today, 7 to 5 Eastern, 4 Pacific on ESPN and the app. All right, so since there is no March Madness this year, The Jump is here for you. We are going to run it back with the most memorable turning plays featuring NBA stars.
Oh, is that
stars.
Danny Ainge?
81, your guy, Danny Ainge.
Danny has some game, I'm telling you.
Game-winning shot for BYU that beat Notre Dame in the Sweet 16.
Look at DA. I'll see you, Danny. BYU's finest.
Look how skinny he is. And look at those shorts.
The feathered hair.
Well, that he maintained for quite some time. Come on. All right, 92, Shaq blocking 11 shots and a triple-double versus BYU in the first round.
How big he is compared to everybody else, dude. It's always he's just been that big old kid.
This is like watching the videos of Perks Kid.
Right.
Oh, man. What was that movie?
Blue Chips.
Yeah. That's what it was like.
Leon Bedeau.
98, Rip Hamilton breaking Washington's heart with the putback game winner. No time left on the clock. This was Sweet 16.
Got it.
Rip won at every level.
Yep.
Mm. Man.
Champion.
Shout out to Rip.
That was a tough team. Khalid Al-Amin.
They won it all that year, I think.
Kemba Walker dropping 33 on Cincy in the NCAA round of 32. This was in 2011.
Kemba had one of the best marches I've ever seen college history.
Right?
Ran through that tournament.
Serious. Big East tournament and NCAA tournament.
You guys are all out there supporting.
Yeah,
I
kept a close eye on him.
You
definitely.
Know? How much are y'all missing March Madness right now?
It's huge.
Man, that's a big part. That's when you fill out your brackets. Yeah. You know, y'all get together. That's another social gathering.
Yeah.
You
right.
know, you guys, on our teams, we would fill out a
serious.
Bracket. Everybody
right?
put up about 200.
Talking trash, everything.
Oh, man.
This is sad. I think we're missing. Like, I feel bad for a lot of these college kids because the numbers say that 99% of them won't move on to play.
Right.
Professional basketball. So this is it.
Seniors,
teams that had a great run, one and dones. We could have seen, you know, all the run we saw what Zion did in the tournament last year. I really feel for the college kids that their careers just kind of came to a halt.
By the way, this is how NBA players are different from the rest of us. Your pool is $200 a pop. My pools are like $5 a pop. Okay. Totally fine. Welcome back. I'm Rachel Nichols, still hanging out an acceptable social distance amount away from Matt Barnes and Paul Pierce. And with no basketball, the struggle is real for some players out there.
Wait a minute.
Serge Ibaka posting this video of himself.
I love it.
Running up and down the hallway with the caption, cardio day
it.
At home.
Love it.
Right?
I mean, how many of you got to do just to be and stay in NBA shape? You got to do about
a thousand
of those.
Right?
Well, you got to think, I mean, the pressure is on these guys because we don't really know if and when the season returns.
Right.
But when it does, it's going to come back. It's no preseason. It's none of this. You know, hopefully they'll get maybe 8 to 10 games before the playoffs. But, you know, I'm still able to get outside. I jog every morning just to kind of get out and get some air and run around. But the pressure's on these guys. You know, obviously they said they've locked facilities, but every NBA player knows somewhere they can get into a gym. So it's really going to be on them to stay fresh, stay sharp if the season is going to come back.
Amazon, those weights.
That's gonna
get
be
that
tough.
Home gym set up, right?
Yeah.
Some guys are
jail workouts.
We know guys like LeBron James got home gym.
Oh, yeah. Remember he set up like a tent at the movie studio this summer? Obviously, LeBron also looking for wine partners. So clearly, you know, both sides of the equation going on. You mentioned being out here and being able to take a run.
Yeah.
You live in L.A. Giannis Antetokounmpo lives in Milwaukee.
It's a little cold out
there.
Right?
It's a little bit different for some of these players because, Paul, you remember Boston. I always said people didn't understand how cold Boston is.
Milwaukee is a little colder than Boston.
Right. But in March, in Boston,
you can still catch some snow.
Right?
Pretty
in
brisk.
April, you can still catch some snow.
Right?
Pretty brisk.
So I think for these guys, it is a challenge. And again, you're talking about creatures of routine.
Right.
A lot of basketball players have been in the same kind of routine since they were 10 years old, right? Now with AAU and everything else that's going on. And their identity is being a basketball player.
Yeah.
That is who people say, who are you? Who is that guy?
Right.
He's a player. He plays in the NBA. And all of that is different right now. With the NBA season on hold and most people at home, now is also the time to get creative, which is why we are starting the Jump Challenge.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so as you will see here from Trae Young, Luka Doncic, we got the UNC Women's Hoop Squad.
I got to get me and the twins on here.
You can't tell me you didn't have this hoop up. When I was a kid, I had that Nerf hoop up right on top of the door. That's how I got started in ball there.
Right. So Trey's been doing his thing.
3 points.
We want
you
got to
shoot up at the rim, Trey. Put the basket up.
How people are filling the void, right?
Luka, he had a little slip and fall here. I got worried about for a second.
That's tough.
By the way, props, because most guys will just retape, right? If they had a miss or a slip or something.
Kept it going.
You know, they've run some in workout videos. No one's ever missed.
I'm showing you how bored we are.
Oh,
right,
man. Well, you got to think. I mean, we obviously get, you know, 3 months off in the summer. We can move. We can get outside of our house. We can travel. We can vacation. We can hang out. But now you're not playing and you're stuck in your house.
Really isolated. You don't have no practice facility, no game arena.
Nothing to watch.
Netflix
is killing it right now.
Right.
Like, I hate the summer times because there's no ball.
Nothing,
and it's
right.
like, that's what's happening.
Well, this
right
is
now.
The best time you think it's March Madness. We're revving up for the NBA playoffs. Spring training is starting. This is one of the special times of the year normally for sports.
All right, so I want to create something we can all watch. I am issuing the challenge now. You heard these guys are desperate. So
the
we have that at ESPN NBA Twitter handle. You use the hashtag the Jump Challenge. And I would like to see how y'all are filling your hoops void at home.
Nice.
And if you are good enough, I'm not talking about, ooh, I made a three-pointer. No. I want the good stuff.
Oh, I'm making one tonight. I'm sending one.
Me and the twins are going to do something next week.
I'm sending one in.
We already had a legendary game of
horse. We are
going to
have a little daily basketball gathering here at the
Jump. This is going to be my version of TikTok. This is my version.
I ain't going to be dancing nowhere.
A little bit of the older crowd or the basketball crowd. Hashtag the jump challenge. I want to see it, and we're going to do this throughout the next few weeks on our show. Coming up, more from my conversation with Commissioner Adam Silver. We will dive into his idea of a potential charity hoops game in the future. And Adrian Wojnarowski is going to join us. He's got some breaking news, and we will talk about all that next.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
You're watching The Jump, presented by Michelin Wiper Blades.
Welcome back to The Jump. We now welcome in ESPN senior NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski from his home in New Jersey. Woj, that background of yours is getting a workout these days. I really do appreciate you joining us. Earlier today,
I'm getting
you reported
a lot of questions
that players
about it,
are still allowed to travel out of market, but the preference remains that they stay in cities they play. And you also said the team facilities are closing to players and staff. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this has been a conversation, Rachel, that's been ongoing between the league and teams. When the initial part of the shutdown last week, when they told teams you can open the facility, you could have one coach working with one player individually at a few different baskets, but only a select number of players. Even teams were uncomfortable with that. They felt ultimately, and I think the league too, as they kept looking at it, listen, the best thing for everybody, and the NBA included, is that people are isolated. They are staying in their homes. That didn't match up. And so some conversations that had been going on this week. Now the NBA facilities are shut down like any other office in this country. And players, you know, the message to players is the same. Stay home. This is bigger than basketball right now, and you guys staying in shape and being on the floor is far less of a priority, I think, for most teams than it is making sure that that no one is put in any further danger.
And we're still, of course, Woj, having developments on teams finding out who among their team and their offices may be affected. What can you tell us about what's going on with the Denver Nuggets?
Yeah, a member, the Nuggets just announced a short time ago that a member of their organization tested positive for the coronavirus, had symptoms, was being treated. The team, the organization, I'm told, is being purposely vague. So whether that's a player, a coach, member of the front office, member of business staff, any, you know, any number of people, that's unclear, and that's by design right now.
All right, Woj, thank you so much. We will be continuing to go to you in the coming weeks because news will keep happening, even if the games are not. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
All right, I spoke with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver yesterday, and I wanted to share more of our conversation with you, particularly on the ways things might move forward here. Take a listen. With each day now, we're getting all this new information, so I'm not going to ask you to predict the future on the next 6 months, but as that new information has come, what criteria are you going to be using to decide when and if you can resume? For example, the CDC has recommended no gatherings of more than 50 people for at least 2 months. So what is the point where you're going to feel, okay, we can actually talk about resuming?
Well, to your point about not predicting the future, I've certainly learned sort of in this job and in this process that when people do pretend they can predict the future, they're generally wrong. And I'd say look no further than the fact that certainly 2 weeks ago and even a week ago, people were saying very different things than they're saying today. And so, of course, one of the things that we're very focused on at the league office and together with our teams is what are the conditions we would need to restart? And I'd say I'm looking at three different things here. One is, of course, when can we restart and operate as we've known it, 19,000 fans in buildings, and sort of that's one set of criteria. Then option two is, how would we should we consider restarting without fans, and what would that mean? Because presumably, if you had a group of players and staff around them, and you could test them and you could follow some protocol, doctors, health officials may say it's safe to play. So that's sort of second set of circumstances. And then a third option that we're looking at now, and I would say all suggestions welcome, is that as I sort of beginning of this interview, I've mentioned the impact to me on the national psyche of having no sports programming on television. And one of the things we've been talking about, are there conditions in which a group of players could compete, you know, and maybe it's for a giant fundraiser or just for the collective good of the people that you take a subset of players, and is there a protocol in which they can be tested and quarantined or isolated in some way, and then they can compete against each other just because, again, people are stuck at home, and I think they need a diversion. They need to be entertained. And I just add to that point, one of the thoughts I've heard from, you know, several of our teams, and something I've been thinking about a lot is, you know, to the extent we were the first to shut our league down, in what way can we be a first mover to help restart the economy? Because, I would just add, is when you think about public health, of course, shutting down the economy, and I'm not criticizing the fact that we're doing it right now, I'm following whatever the directives are, but there's no doubt that shutting down the economy is a public health matter as well. I mean, just in the case of the NBA, when you include all our day-of-game workers in our arenas, just the NBA accounts for roughly 55,000 jobs. And so it's like, I think we all have to be thinking collectively at what the right balance is. And I know, of course, this is the obligation of government officials. When will it be okay to sort of come back out of our homes and say it's time to reengage with each other? And as I said, when I look at the options, maybe we can do this incrementally. The first step isn't games with, you know, thousands of people in the arenas, but maybe it's just games. You know, something I've always said, you know, 99% of people only consume the NBA through some sort of media platform. I mean, it's only a tiny percentage of our fans that actually get to see our games in arenas. So those fans who, you know, watch on television or whatever device they have are fans just in the same way people are in the arena. And maybe even through new kinds of technology, there's ways that fans can be virtual, that they can react to plays on the court and make noise in the arena. I don't know. You know, sometimes out of even the worst crisis comes opportunity. And one thing I'll say about the United States, and maybe as we've watched this unfold around the world, that we're an incredible country, and some of the greatest inventions, some of the best innovation, some of the best minds are in this country. And I think I'm sure as people are sitting home but still working, they're thinking of these various things. Like so how can we restart the economy, and what role can the NBA play?
All right, so we're going to have more of my conversation with Adam in a moment, but I want to hone in on this idea of a possible charity game, right? We've seen the NBA step in like this before. Back in September of 2005, we had NBA stars come together for a game to raise money for the victims of Hurricane Katrina. Very different, though, to all come to a place that had been economically devastated versus this. And you heard Adam talk about some of the specifics that would have to be involved if they did a charity game. He said, would we have to quarantine everybody? Would you have to test and then isolate everybody involved?
And then isolate them from their families?
From their
test
families?
Their families.
Right?
It's a lot.
Kind of thing? Would you kind of move everybody for 2 weeks and then have them play? How would you control sort of who else was involved with that? Everyone touches a basketball. We're all sitting our required feet apart, but there's no social distancing when you guys are playing. Mm-hmm. So what do you think of this idea?
We're all trying to find ways to whet our appetite for the game of basketball. And, you know, this could, if you were able to pull off a charity game, this could possibly be a blueprint of bringing the NBA back.
Right.
And so I'm all for it. You know, if there's a possible way to get a charity game going to where the players agree to it, and I'm not sure if you have fans or talk about some of the things Adam talked about with the quarantining, the players and fans, or even not even having fans. Mm-hmm. So whatever, if they were able to pull this off, this would definitely be the blueprint and the first step toward bringing NBA games back.
I love the thinking outside of the box, the optimism and all the efforts to try to bring something back. But if you think about the optics of it, like you said, well, how's the quarantine work? Are they going to be quarantined from their families now? Are we testing their families?
I mean, look, I'm totally spitballing, right? Do you have an army base or something that's
it's going
not
to be
being
crazy.
Used, you
but
know,
even on top of that, like, I love the idea of a charity game, but you got to think now, what happens if someone gets hurt in that charity game? What happens if LeBron sprains an ankle, knock on wood? You know, what happens if a key player in this charity game gets hurt and in the season, it's a blueprint.
Or even
the season
contacted does come the back, virus somehow.
Or yeah, you know what I mean? So no, I think there's too many what-ifs, you know, especially for a charity game. I love the idea. If this was the summertime and we were trying to entertain the fans, I'm all for it. But the fact that the NBA may possibly still come back and we're putting guys at risk for a charity game, I don't know if that's how that's going to work.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I do like, as you said, that they're thinking about different things.
You got to.
This is a new set of problems, right? Yeah. And to Adam's point, we are good in this country at facing a new set of problems and figuring out what to do. Paul and I were talking before the show about all the new apps that are going to get invented in the next 2 months by people being like, oh, you're all staying at home? Do this now through your phone. So I think, you know, the NBA is going to keep looking at this. And I was very interested to hear him bring that up last night because it hadn't been in any of the reporting yet. And the idea that he said players keep calling him and saying, I want to play. And I think if you said to some of the players in the NBA, and I understand your injury concerns, but if you said to them, hey, it's totally voluntary if you want to or not,
guys would play for sure.
But spend 2 weeks, we're going to put you for 2 weeks in some sort of, you know, hotel or something that's just for you guys, and you're not going to be with your families, but for 2 weeks, we're going to isolate everyone and make sure that everybody is free of anything that could hurt each other or anyone else, and then we're going to play some games that we're going to televise for charity, and it's going to be like a month of boot camp
I think it would be great.
I think you would get guys who wanted to do it, and of course, guys who didn't or had the concerns you're talking about wouldn't, but this is something where we're talking about for the next couple months maybe tucking in, and so maybe a 2 to 3 week quarantine or isolation for some guys wouldn't feel like something that they would argue with. I don't know. It depends on how many of your kids at home have been asking you questions every 5 minutes. Coming up, we're going to talk about the NBA calendar because we know it is going to drastically change with the rest of this season. But should those changes become permanent, we are going to discuss that shortly. First, though, we know everybody is stuck at home with no games, but over on the ESPN app, right, and the ESPN Plus app, there is so much good basketball content you can use to pass the time. So Dwayne Wade's documentary, I have to tell you, if you have not seen it, it is excellent. You've got The Boardroom, NBA Rookies is a series. Those are just a few options, and you can try it for free. So here you go. Public service. Get it.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
You're watching The Jump, presented by Michelin Wiper Blades.
Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, social distancing, my friends, with Paul Pierce, Matt Barnes. Before we get into our discussion, I just want to play you a little bit more of my conversation with Adam Silver, because he's talking about what might be ahead for the future of the NBA. Take a listen. If you did actually restart the season, in your mind, is that regular season games first? Would you go straight into the playoffs? What would that look like as we're talking about games that might not restart until July and August?
Rachel, I honestly don't know, just because I don't have a good enough sense of how long a period this is going to be. As I said, I mean, even the fact that we were using the word hiatus just a week ago, and that sort of the implication was a short amount of time. I think I said last Thursday, not less than 30 days, just to give some guidance to our teams and players. But at this point, I really don't know.
Do you have a feeling, as we sit here, what percentage the NBA season will continue versus get canceled?
I don't. I mean, I'm optimistic by nature, and I want to believe that we're going to be able to salvage at least some portion of this season. I'd say, you know, we've done new and creative things in the past. We experimented with this year's All-Star game with a unique ending. You know, we've talked about play-in tournaments going into the playoffs. You know, there may be other things we can do with the format. I know I've heard from a lot of our players. I mean, it's actually been less than a week. They're going stir crazy. They want to play. They want to compete. Players, as you know, I mean, unlike a lot of us in our positions, we can just go back to what we were doing. But every player, I mean, is fighting, you know, something that's unwinnable, and that's the aging process. So, it you know, a lost year or lost portion of a season in their careers is very different than other people. So, you know, we're going to try by every means we can to play basketball again. But, you know, I say that the safety and health of our players is first and our fans, which is why I don't want to speculate more than that. I mean, that will be the condition upon which we can play when public health officials give us the okay.
You've mentioned experimentation with the NBA calendar, different proposals people around you have had. Could this inadvertently lead to you guys reshaping the NBA calendar? You've talked about a midseason break. We're inadvertently getting a midseason break. There have been owners who have asked to shift the schedule to start on Christmas Day. Could we see this epidemic shift the NBA calendar permanently?
Possibly. Those are things we're always talking about, whether they're executives in at your company at ESPN or at Warner Media, you know, together with our regional sports networks. I mean, I will say, you know, what the conventional television calendar has changed so much since I got into this business. You know, prime time means something very different than it used to now that people, in essence, carry televisions around with them in their pockets. You know, that the summer is viewed differently than it was historically from a television standpoint. So, you know, regardless of whether we had been going through all this, it's something that the league office, together with our teams, has been spending a lot of time on. And we have a lot of our team owners who are technologists, media mavens by background. And so it's something that committees of owners and league officials have been working on a lot, especially over the past year or so.
All right, Adam, I've asked you a few questions about permutations if you guys do restart. I just want to finish with a question if you do end up having to cancel the season. We would obviously just have a year without a champion. What would you do about other matters of record for the league, since history is so important to so many fans? Would James Harden just go down as having won the scoring title, even in a truncated season? Do you still hold votes for awards, MVP, Defensive Player of the Year? How does that work?
I'm not there yet.
Okay.
I mean, we'll figure it out, but I hope I'm not just in denial, but I'm just not there yet.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Adam, so much for his time. And frankly, his honesty. I thought there was a very human moment.
Maybe you were on him. You were giving him the questions. You were giving him questions we all want to know.
Well, this is what we want to know, right? And look, this is we always say if the season ended today, guess what? The playoffs began today. Here's the Western Conference playoff matchups. We'll also show the East in a second. But do you guys think we could just go straight into playoff games? How do players' bodies work here?
I think absolutely not. I think they need at least, whether it be 7-10, 5-10, they're going to need a little bit of time to shake the rust off. Although these are the most elite athletes in the world, basketball players, it takes time, especially for some of the older players, just to shake that rust off.
Yeah, I think you're going to need a 30-day period. But what you can do...
We don't have 30 days,
you
know, Paul!
But I'm saying, you can't just jump into a playoff basketball. You can't say, okay, we've been off 30, 45 days, however long it's going to be, and say, play at your highest potential right now. I mean, you want the best of the best playing their best. So you have to give them like a 30-day period. Maybe you shorten the playoffs. You go back to the first two rounds, five games.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, maybe you shorten it at the end, but you got to give these players a chance to get their legs back. You got to understand, you're taking away their practice facilities. You're taking away their arenas. They won't be ready at the start.
No.
Right. I mean, look, I know that ideally you want your best players playing their best, all of that. This is never going to be an ideal scenario. Yeah. I don't know.
There's going to be a lot of firsts.
6 to 8 games before the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know if it's going to be a full month.
There's going to be a lot of firsts now,
right?
You know, post-coronavirus, not only in the NBA, but particularly in the NBA, there's going to be a lot of firsts. So however we move from here, we're going to be in new, uncharted territory. But I agree with Paul. I don't know if we have 30 days, but I definitely think there needs to be a warm-up period, because, like I'm saying, these guys are going full speed when we stopped.
Yep.
Now, I say we because, you know, we've been there, we've done that. So you're stopping them. Now, how consistently are they working out? How consistently are they running? Are they playing? They're not being able to do anything. So just to think we can throw them back out there and it's playoff time and it's time to go, It doesn't work like that.
All right. Well, I did also ask Adam about potentially shifting the NBA calendar permanently, right? So earlier this month at the Sloan Analytics Conference, we had the Hawks CEO propose starting the season in mid-December, starting those big games first on Christmas Day. Do you guys think that that might be a good idea? Maybe for this season because everything's going to shift, but maybe overall?
Well, this is what I think. It'll shift for 1 year. Mm-hmm. And I remember in 2010, we started the season on Christmas.
Right.
Because there was a lockout. Mm-hmm. So that year, so because we have an extended season this year that may go to August, September, and say you start in December, just for 1 year, you'll have a shorter season. So since we start going to start late next year, you can say, all right, this season next year, 2020, 2021, we're only going to have 50 games, guys.
Yeah,
and then come back the next year, you go back to 82.
So you wouldn't want to start the whole season in December, maybe get off the competition with the NFL and shift the calendar?
I think it's tough. I mean, I think
that'll be tough.
We have a great situation where we always have the summer off.
Right.
The summer off, a lot of stuff happens in the summer. You let your body recover and everything. And like Paul said, if we happen to have to start in December, we're not going to be able to play a full calendar if we plan on getting back on some sort of old schedule. So if we're going to a complete new schedule where we're going to start in December and still have 82 games and end in August, it's going to completely shift the offseason. You know what I mean? So that's something I'm sure they're working on, but it'll be different. Speaking as a former player, I wouldn't like that.
You wouldn't like that. Well, I promise you, there are people who have been advocating for a while for fewer than 82 games, right? They're going to be trying to get that in now to push that in. You can experiment now in a way that maybe you couldn't just sort of randomly throughout a random season. Now we're going to be forced to. All right, up next, 25 years ago today, Michael Jordan returned to the NBA after, we'll call it trying to play baseball in 94. But what if he had never played baseball? How many rings would he have? That is on deck next on The Jump. First, though, time for another installment of Distant Replay. I promise we're going to take care of you with these. Our first one from this date, 2006. A little D-Wade.
Who was that on? Jamal Crawford?
Oh, that was Jason. Jason on the team.
Get up, Sam. I know he's watching. Young D.
Pretty young, right? And then 2008, Amari and the Big Shaq.
Okay.
This is such a fun team.
Yeah.
That was.
Right? Unless I had to play him.
The Jump is presented by Michelin Silicone Wiper Blades. Designed for extreme performance and last two times longer.
Tonight on ESPN SportsCenter, 6 o'clock Eastern, then our two-hour bracket special, college basketball's greatest of all time, is at 7 Eastern, where we reveal the top 64 men's and women's players ever. That's going to be good. And then the primetime NFL free agency special, 9 o'clock. And we cap the day with SportsCenter, SVP, 11 o'clock Eastern. All right, guys, crunch time here on The Jump. On this date, 1969, the Suns called heads and lost a coin flip to the Bucks for the first pick in that year's draft. Who did Milwaukee select?
Cap.
Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Who did Phoenix pick?
Neil
Welk. Right?
I don't even think it mattered. With all due respect, I don't think it mattered who. They missed out on the greatest score of all time.
But this is common knowledge. Tails never fails. Come on. Don't we all know this? Don't we all know
That's
this?
That's what you got out of this.
They
Tails
did.
Never fails.
No Kareem.
They
like,
did.
Tails
Whenever
never
you
fails,
flip,
baby.
I'm always Tails.
I'm sure he would have loved to be in Phoenix over Milwaukee, too. This city.
We all know that.
All right. We got the most important words in Chicago Bulls history coming up. Yes. You know them. I'm back.
The eagerly anticipated comeback of Michael Jordan, 21 months after his last appearance in an NBA game.
I don't know about you, but I got the goosebumps for this one. This is very special.
I'm back for the love of the game. You're not expected to win every time, but I'm back. That's all that matters.
Oh, yeah, 25 years ago today, Michael Jordan returned to the NBA after missing 17 months to play minor league baseball. So, Paul, do you remember where you were when MJ came back?
Man, I was at Inglewood High School. Like, that was one of the happiest days of my life. I was like, the GOAT is back. And I always tell Sam Cassell this. He would only have one championship.
Mm. Okay, so that's
what
Jordan ask.
Didn't
next
retire
eight.
In 95, 96.
So that's what you think. You think
he would have had 8 titles. For sure.
I think to say he would have 8 physically is the easy part, but you heard him say, I got the love back for the game. I think the mental grind, I got a chance to play on Golden State when they were going for 3 and they got it. I got a chance to play with the Lakers and we didn't get it. You know, so I think physically, on paper, they looked like they could have got 8, but I think the mental grind is what might have broke that up, but it's MJ, so you never know.
You think all 8?
All 8! Sam, you hear, if you listen to Sam Cassell, Houston Rockets wouldn't have any titles if Jordan didn't retire.
Eight straight champions, no one else, eight years.
That's why he the GOAT.
Think about, though, who else, right, was hot at that time. You don't think Hakeem, you don't think they could have managed
Houston got
one.
Phoenix. Phoenix was good.
In that time.
Yeah.
And by the way, the season Scottie Pippen had without MJ.
Incredible. He always gets overlooked. Pip was a killer, man.
Man, right? I'm telling you, they would have eight titles. Guarantee that.
Well, certainly.
Wasn't Pip like in the All-Star MVP camp?
Yeah. That is so disrespectful.
Pip was a killer. He always gets overshadowed, but man, he was a killer.
Right?
This was disrespectful. This might be one of the most disrespectful guys of all times.
I mean, look, it's like we talk about now with the Lakers having two of the top five players in the league on one team. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely what happened with Pip and MJ.
Right.
And that first year that MJ was playing baseball, I know Scottie was
He was excited. I'm sure mentally.
Oh, by the way.
I can hoop too.
Man. Right? And Diddy.
I do think your point, though, about not the consecutive. Yeah. There's a reason nobody's done more. Right?
It's mental.
Right? And what the Celtics did back in the day is a little bit different as well.
League.
All right. We're all out of time for today. I want to thank everyone who helped us get on the air. We're back tomorrow.
Check out all the Smoke podcasts.
Be sure to check out all the Smoke.
Paul's episode drops today. Check it out.
Steven Jackson.
Check it out.
Showtime.
Showtime Basketball YouTube.
Good plug. Appreciate y'all, man.